How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Selected verses from Psalm 84. It's a psalm that is not written by David. The note says that it is from the sons of Korah, who were servants of the temple, those who composed music for the temple, quite likely during the life of David. This may be during the later life of David when he is in exile. He's been chased from the city and they're longing to return. Some scholars have a different view. I kind of like this one too, that it is written by the Ephraimites, who for a while were ostracized from the people of Israel. They were set apart. They were kept out of the faith, and then they are being brought back in. In either case, it really doesn't matter. For what this psalm is about is one who has been kept away from the holy place of God, which is salvation. Make no mistake, the temple, the box, the Ark of the Covenant is salvation. This is why the Lord's Supper is so important to us today. Because we only find salvation through the one place God says it will be. And when he says this is it, that's it. Now, the person praying the psalm, they've been kept away and they're longing to go back and, it would seem, are getting to go back and are rejoicing in every piece that they see, even up to and including a sparrow. The most useless of birds. I mean, they're not useless, but really, if you're gonna line birds up in terms of which birds are more useful, right? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, as our Lord says, right? What are they worth? And yet, even a sparrow, it would seem, has made a little nest in the altar. And where the sacrifice is being ignored, where the priest's not doing the job to clean, you could go that direction, but the psalmist doesn't. He says the Lord welcomes the whole world. That's why he has established this house, is to be the foretaste of the world redeemed. Creation fallen, but creation restored. What I gotta wonder is, you know, how much can you really pray this? How much do you long for church? For the sanctuary in which your Lord comes to you in his words, and according to the mysteries of his sacraments, according to the holy mystery of his body and blood. Do you long, yes, faint for the courts of the sanctuary? No, I get it. We've done a lot to de-beautify sanctuaries in the modern age. Not all of them, but many, right? We've stripped a lot of them bare. We don't put up all the art. It's too expensive, all that kind of stuff. But even with all that aside, why do you go to the sanctuary? Is it to look at the art and the beauty? Why do you beautify the sanctuary? Just to lift up that thing, that life that you find there in the words from God about who he is, what he's done, where his promises of salvation lie. I know I don't feel this longing enough, but I can only imagine that if I were exiled, if I were persecuted to the extent that I could not attend service, Gottesdienst, the receiving of absolution, the tasting of the body and blood of Christ and the bread and wine, I can only imagine how over time it would drive me mad, beat me down, cause me to struggle, cause me to wonder, cause me to hope, cause me to long, and yes, even faint, for someone to speak to me of Christ again, for a pastor to say, take and drink for the forgiveness of your sins again, Yes, truly, blessed are those who dwell in that house, in the salvation that is the headship, the resurrection, the one man, Jesus Christ. He is a shield. And I know that without that shield, I would struggle. Without that shield being placed on my arm again and again and again, without being reminded, that's your shield. All the flaming darts of the evil one, they bounce off it. They fizzle and drop to the ground. They cannot pierce that shield. But what's the shield according to verse 9? Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. That's Hebrew Messiah. That's translated into the Greek Christos. That's Christ. Christ is the shield. Jesus on the cross. Not a weapon for you to harm your neighbor, but a weapon for you to defend your heart with when attacked by the real weapons of our enemy, which is not physical metal, but lies, deceptions, untruths, verbal hatred and malice, attacks, all of the above. Behold our shield, O God, the God who is the anointed. And knowing that, knowing the potency of this buckler, through which no enemy's lie can get to you, no accusation can accuse you so that the justification that Christ has given is taken away. Because of that, is not a day in the Lord's courts, one day, better than an eternity here in this dying, broiling, rickety planet? Isn't it better to just be a servant in paradise than to have all eternity to relish your wickedness in hell? Blessed is the one who trusts in Jesus, not because you therefore are a better person and can look down your nose at everybody else, not because you would withhold the sharing of that shield with all. Blessed is the one who trusts in Jesus, because he is shelter, no matter what storm the world might bring upon you. How lovely is the day of resurrection to which he takes us. How precious is the favor that he has promised to you.